Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
All In with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, everybody. Scott Patterson, I Am All In podcast, iHeartRadio 111 Productions. We are back for season 3 premiere, Those Lazy, Hazy, Crazy Days. Riley, take it away with your synopsis.
So this air dates September 24th, 2002. It's a season 3 premiere. Woop, woop. Rory returns from Washington, D.C., while Jess is still on her mind and finally makes a decision about Dean. Lorelai breaks the news to her parents that her and Christopher didn't work out and finds comfort in talking to Luke.
Okay.
I mean, right from the start, who noticed the sexy pink nightgown?
It was good. She looked good. And here, I've got a picture of her in that dress with Taylor in the wheelchair, and she's got a white bucket hat on. She looks good. She looks really good.
Speaking of, was the real life Taylor actually injured?
Does anybody know?
Because why was he in the wheelchair? Was it part of the actual storyline, or was he hurt?
I don't know. I think that he was probably hurt. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking too, Riley.
I was trying to access my memory banks from 22 years ago. It wasn't booting up. I was having problems connecting with my own brain, which is a frequent occurrence. But anyway, go ahead.
So I have to ask you something.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, this is like really important. Your first kiss with Lorelai was in a dream.
As it should be.
Yeah, but that was a little bit interesting, because their actual first kiss, we know, comes later. But you did kiss.
As a fan, I was thrilled. I was jumping up and down. Like I said before, I really love them together. I think that she is so, how can I describe Lorelai? There's a side of her that Luke balances off very well. And I think all sides, But she's a tough girl. She's tough. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, she's got that Emily Steele in her, right? I mean, that's where she gets it. And she needs somebody to push back on her. And she's not going to respect a guy who doesn't have the, right. And look, if I don't have the background or the educational credentials that her bloodline is used to, her DNA is used to, accustomed to, then at least have a spine and push back. And, you know, Luke is that, right? So it works for me. They just look really good together. We look really good together and we act well together and it just works and it's easy. And I think the fact that he's not going all noodly on her all the time and you know what I mean? Cause everybody does, they're all flipping out over her. And I'm the guy that's like, listen, you know, you're a pain in my ass. Love you. Bye. You know? And I think that's refreshing. And so I really love that scene. It's one of my favorite scenes.
I'm surprised you didn't like the episode because it's so bookended by two epic scenes with them.
I don't know. Whoa.
I mean, I guess.
What did you guys think of the episode? Tell me, and then I'll come in and look like a horse's ass. Go ahead. Tell me how great it was.
I definitely squealed when I saw you and Lorelai kiss. I was like, oh my God, that's so cute. I was really excited about that. And I agree with Amy, the ending scene too at the diner. I was like, ooh, here we go. Buckle up.
Yeah. Riley, what did you think of this?
I complete on all. And then, but the way you like kissed and rubbed her belly.
Right.
Like the
right.
little twins. Yeah, just like you got all the tingly feels that you, like we, I guess, had been feeling with Christopher. We finally got to feel it with Luke.
Yeah, but wasn't it so much more powerful with Luke?
It was. Yes. It was. Like, and I think that's where we see, like, now the fans were talking about, like, hello, it's Luke and Lorelai. Yeah. Like, we got to feel that too, finally.
Right. Right. Yeah, it just seemed, I don't know. There was...
It's so funny. I have, like, 50 favorite lines. You don't?
There's a...
I didn't mean to interrupt you. You explain why you
No, there's a lot of good lines, for sure. There's, and we'll get to those. There's tons of good lines.
What bugged you?
Oh God. I mean, you want to go through it in order or you want to jump around? What do you want?
Yeah, let's go in order. Let's go in order. And then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next moment is Lorelai. She has the dream. She falls out of bed and then she wakes up Rory. So then we get to see Rory in DC.
I thought that was a pretty funny scene. I think it was of course she's going to call her daughter and of course we're going to get, you know, the Paris Geller hysterical. I did not have sex with that woman. Really funny.
I also love the dialogue between Rory and Lorelai. Was he naked? No, he was naked. Good. And then there was a genius Bill Maher line, which really slid in there, but it was like politically correct. Didn't anyone read the title?
Right.
So funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember that. Well, we remember what he said, right? Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I think that was a little beyond politically incorrect. It was just,
It was a great, like, pop culture.
Sure.
Something worked
for sure.
Gilmore
for
Girls.
Sure.
And there had been enough time, just enough time that was not inappropriate that they put
Look, I thought that was a great scene. I thought it was really funny. It was heartwarming. You know, they missed each other. Rory was getting on with her little career and building her resume. And Paris was providing some great humor, talking in her sleep. You know, that was all good stuff. All really good stuff.
It also gave us, it was really brilliant. It gave us a very nice recap of where we left off without having to put it in our face. Cause you get a mention of Christopher, you get a mention of Dean, you see the letters and then you see that she's writing to Jess.
The letters.
A lot of letters
really
from Dean.
Yeah.
She, like one a day. It's like, uh-oh. And then you see the Jess. She puts those away and just starts thinking of what she's going to write to Jess. But I thought, you know, that... What a way to open up. Yes, a great opening for season three, because it sets up Luke and Lorelai, and it sets up what may come, and it sets up for Rory what may come. You know, her Luke. So it's like that Gilmore blood mixing with the Danes blood. Will it happen? Will it happen on multiple levels here? So pretty cool. Pretty cool setup for sure. So what do we have next? What came up next?
So then we go to Suki's. Mm-hmm. So then Lorelai's having breakfast at Suki's, which I like that they reference she's there every day.
I like that scene. I like Jackson in that scene. I thought it was funny. I thought it was the right tone. And it just, I like how it started. I really was involved in it. I didn't quite understand what Suki thought was wrong with the house. She wanted to freshen it up. She wanted to change it a little bit. There was some ancillary dialogue between those two. And then Jackson came in. Yeah.
Funny though. We're not.
Right. Exactly. All good
you
stuff.
Have to hear
I thought beautifully
us.
Acted, beautifully shot. The writing was great. Everything was great.
Yeah.
Firing on all. So far, the episode is firing on all cylinders. Okay.
I agree. Yeah. I thought it was hilarious when Jackson acknowledges, if you come here every day, Lorelai, you're going to have to hear both of us. Like, it's just really great. Right. Her as a part of their couplehood. Right. And clearly that's her bestie.
I never liked Jackson more. I thought he did very, very well as a, they're married at this point, right? Yeah. Yeah. As a husband.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's where we left off on.
So what comes next?
Okay. So then next we see the bucket hat and we realize Taylor's been injured, and we learn about the new festival. I think it was the Madness Festival. And that looked quite fun. So
all great. I thought the acting was superb. I think Michael Winters just delivered as he always does. And Lauren looked great. She looked great in the dress. She looked great in the hat. Everything was flowing.
Great necklace.
Outdoors, sunny, festival coming. Loved it all. Loved the shot at the end when Luke is taking an order from a young girl, and Lorelai just stares, and she's not going to go in yet. She doesn't feel like she can go into the diner yet. So still the episode is firing on all cylinders.
Okay. So now, Danielle, we're getting to your moment. So now we see Senator Barbara Boxer, which I thought this was genius. Right. And Paris is just pelting her with questions and,
this is when I started to get a headache. It was just like somebody turn her off, find her off switch. It was like, Jesus, cacophonous, funny. Okay. But so overbearing and over the top. I thought the whole bit was funny. I get it. Right. You throw that in and you know, there's Paris going off and, you know, being her obnoxious self. And yes, it was funny. It was entertaining and all that. But I mean, it was so much of it. I think it was just too extended. It was like, we could have done a third of that and we get the point.
So I thought the spread of food was unbelievable. I was like, what is happening? And Danielle, what did you think of the Paris gets asked out and doesn't even know?
Oh, I love it. And that's one of my favorite lines as part of that scene. So I'll save it for a little bit later. But I was literally crying when she was like, Rory, you have to go into the closet. Like, you have to. Like, I can't compete with you.
You're going all out of order.
You're asking me. You can't
go out of order.
Much.
All right, take the hat off and slap yourself in the head.
So I don't know how you say his last name. Congressman Doug Ose?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Did you?
Yeah, he came out of the bathroom. Okay, so and he took a U-turn real fast when he saw. This is what I mean by shrill. Okay, it was like, even when she was making the sandwich, and even when she didn't realize, and Rory was explaining to her that she'd been asked out on a date, she still maintained the same sort of angry tone. I mean, this aggressive kind of over the top angry tone.
I wanted to see different colors.
I wanted to see something else besides like this sort of, I don't know.
She is one dimensional.
I thought, yeah. And it gave me a headache. And I wanted, come on, vary it some, you know, give me something else here. Either cut it short or give me something else. That's just how it came off to me.
That congressman in the background. I mean, that was great. So brilliant. Because obviously he's not an actor. They'd have to direct him. Okay, you're going to come out. And then you're going to see her. And you're going to skedaddle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this is also what happens when you don't have professionals. Even though that was Barbara Boxer and Doug Oy. So, you know, it really pulls the scene down. You need, you need professionals. And it's cool to have the Norman Mailers and the Barbara Boxers and the Madeleine Albrights. And you sort of, you know, you forgive them for their lack of skills, right?
Yeah. Okay. That is intriguing
it
to
sort
talk
of
about.
Because it's so real and you're supposed to buy that they don't have any skills as actors and their timing's off. I thought Barbara Boxer did a passable job.
I thought they both did. That's right. Interesting. Okay, so that is something very mm-hmm. interesting that I'm curious what people watching think, if they have that experience too. For me, I just thought, oh, that's so cool because it's so long mm-hmm. ago.
But if you have a real actress in there, with real comedic timing and real skills, they'll make that three times as funny. Same with the Duggos thing. They'll make that much funnier scene.
I am not going to argue with you.
So, but
I think they did great.
I do too. But
I can't argue with you.
They're obviously not professionals. So I'm probably nitpicking here and but that's the thing.
And do you like the novelty of it? Is it worth sacrificing maybe the little bit of skill?
Yeah, I don't know if I was so sold on this. It didn't measure up to the prior scenes. I just thought, okay, I can tolerate this one. I can take an aspirin. Yeah. I can feel better.
Fair. All right, so the next, Cows Don't Wrinkle, Kirk with his hey there.
You're going to make me spit. Cows Don't Wrinkle.
And Kirk is now in the opening credits.
Oh, good. Good. Mm-hmm. This is when I first laughed out loud because Michelle was so pleased that he was going to be able to mock this boy. And please continue. No, we want to hear all about it. it's like his reactions and his... The pleasure that he was going to derive from this kid, this Kirk, just made Kirk's dialogue sound even more absurd. So beautiful acting job by Yannick.
Mm-hmm, always.
Beautiful acting job. That's how you're a great scene partner. You just do your job and you let Kirk shine. And
yeah,
man, I tell you. Really loved it. Really loved that scene. Very funny, very, very clever writing and, you know, beautifully acted.
Okay. So far you just didn't care for one scene.
Correct.
But we'll continue. Correct. Okay. So then Emily is on the phone mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. Lorelai. She's wearing the beautiful magenta mm-hmm. and she says, what day is it? Well, Thursday, the 3rd, because they were at Martha's Vineyard. And we kind of have that back and forth. You said you were going to call us and you did call us. And when's Rory coming home?
I thought that was a little strange for me. See, that was another scene where I was just like, what is Emily complaining about now? What is going on? I mean, usually I'm with her. I get it. But on this, it's like, she's calling up Lorelai just to, you know, to give her crap for not calling when they get home and it's 11 o'clock in the morning. She expected a phone call from Lorelai. Because they got home from, where were they? They were in Hyannis.
Martha's Vineyard.
Okay, so since when is Emily so needy from Lorelai when they get? I mean, it's like, what's the ask here? I didn't get it.
I'm assuming the
good manners, whatever. But what?
I'm assuming the point of that moment was for us to learn that she has not told her parents about Christopher. So it was just a vehicle
mm-hmm,
for
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to agree with you. Wasn't
again, I'm going to use the word shrill. I thought the dialogue was a little too shrill for me, for my tastes. Yeah, I mean, it as a device to get into the Christopher stuff, just, I don't know. Given your daughter, I mean, she came off like a wing nut. I mean, what is, like, that's not Emily to be so needy of Lorelai's attention. So it was just kind of weird.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So obviously Paris is waiting to get picked up from her date, and the dialogue between her and Rory is my favorite thing of the whole entire episode. I about died when she asked Rory to go into the closet. Like, so good. And then the guy shows up. And literally, he says, whatever, like, I'm taking you here. I got a reservation. And she goes, you're perfect. And I was like, yes, go, Paris, go.
Do kids know what the Zagat is? And I always thought it was Zagat.
Well,
Riley didn't know.
You didn't know?
I didn't know. I don't know what that is either.
You don't know what that is? Scott, of course I know.
Of course I know, because I'm from before the internet.
Is it like modern Yelp?
It's a restaurant guide, yes.
Yes. Yeah. It's not. It's the not modern right. Yelp. It's there we the go. Yelp of the 2000s. Right. Okay. And you used to like look in the. I thought it was Zagat, but I guess it's Zagat.
Zagat.
And it would give you reviews of restaurants. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that scene was fine. Interesting that Paris looks down on a Princeton man. She'll overlook that. Remember, she said that earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sake, we're talking about Princeton University. It's one of the.
But she's a Harvard gal.
But it's Princeton's been ranked over Harvard in national rankings multiple years.
Aren't they like neck and neck?
They used to be.
I don't want to brag. My school's up there.
What's your school?
Berkeley.
Oh, look at you, fancy yeah, Berkeley gal.
Debutante, and I went to Cal. Can we take these hats off yet? Like, I look so dumb. I love the line when she's on the phone with Dean. Stop being cute. That was. Rory helping her and telling her to wear her hair down and calming her down. They're really developing a friendship. Mm.
Paris looked gorgeous.
Totally. Yeah, Paris looked really good. Yeah, she cleans up. She cleans great up dress. Very well.
But
again, you know, I just thought she came off like an insane person at the political mixer in Washington.
I think she is a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it was just too much. And then, you know, she was still coming. She's so intense. It gives me a headache. What can I tell you? And Rory standing there with her smile and, you know, sort of having to absorb all that energy coming at her. I don't know how she does it. You know, it's like, how can you, how are you friends with that? That's like being friends with a hand grenade. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Well, okay. So then we're going to go to Kim's Antiques and we've got Suki and Lorelai shopping to manly up the home. So that was a funny little scene. What did you think?
You guys talk about that scene.
You could go with your shrill again. It was a little, maybe it wasn't the best in the episode.
You know, I think that's the quality of some of these scenes, which made me tune out, which is why I don't, usually these shows and these scenes really impact me. And I remember, you know, a lot of details about them. That scene, it's like, yeah. God, are we shrill again? And then I'm just going to not listen to it.
Hey, I think you're having a fair criticism. I love the red top, but I didn't love the scene particularly as much as I love others. And I'm not this sort of C storyline of Suki needing to redo the decor is so unnecessary.
It was like, what do married people fight about? Oh, the house. Let's do a storyline on that.
Right.
I would agree.
Yeah, it didn't hook me in. And I think that's why I didn't engage it.
Okay, so now we're at the airport. And I'll let you guys talk about it. But I do have two criticisms of the airport scene. But you guys again, go first. So this is...
Yeah, it was again. Just... How long were they separated?
The summer.
Whole summer? Yeah, I guess it was, huh?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, yeah, I think you would be excited to see your daughter and your daughter be excited to see you after an entire summer. Sure. Falling down and then sitting down on the floor of the thing and continuing their conversation. What, didn't they share some food, too? Weren't they, like, down there
eating? That's where I was like, what are you guys doing?
Were they eating on the floor?
Sitting on the floor at the airport.
But were they eating? Did somebody start eating? Did Lorelai pull out a muffin or something and start chomping? I don't know.
Either way, I agree. They were on the airport floor.
They were on the airport floor.
So here's my criticism. Now that I am a, expert background actor. Number one, if you were in the airport reading your book and two people fell, you're surely going to look up from your book and think, what is happening with those two lunatics? And the background actor just stayed steady on the book, which I thought
they may have been directed to do that, or that they were looking up and overreacting. So you know, the director, I think Amy wrote and directed this, so I think Amy probably said just read your book because you're screwing up too many takes or something. You know what I mean? Right. You never know.
The falling on the floor was like a bit over the top, and it's like germy down there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I mean, you guys can go through the scene. I kind of tuned out with all the back and forth and I didn't even know what they were talking about. Cause all I kept thinking about was off the floor.
Yeah.
That is not a place you want to be.
Do you think that's the 2020 COVID in us or is
no, 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 it's not. It's like I've been to enough airports to know you don't sit on the floor. I mean,
am I the only one now that's like, they're at the airport. Where's the masks? Like, why aren't they wearing masks? Like,
for me, it's more like you can't do that anymore. You can't like greet your significant other or family member at the gate. You can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Hartford's a smaller. Yeah, that's true. That was, God, and this that was post, that, wait a minute, that was post 9/11.
Right, and we're post 9/11. Yeah,
we're post 9/11 now.
Because we have the Bill Maher joke to prove
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So yeah, that was a little.
But fun, a but fun then, spirited scene. I think they captured the spirit of the reunion and all wonderful. But yeah, I wanted him to get off the floor.
Then we get to the festival, which, oh my God, I want to live in this town. Literally, if I could go to a festival like that in my town, I'd be the happiest person. That looked amazing.
That was quite a production. Quite a production.
The song over
right.
and over.
Over again.
And over again. What was it? Something in beer.
Right. I do have the lyrics for us if we want to go through it.
What was
you got the
it?
Lyrics?
I did pull up the lyrics.
Oh, Riley, give it to me, but talk more into your mic. I can't hear you.
Is that the exact opposite.
That was a good comedy. That was a good comedy there, Riley.
Thank you. Okay, so do you want me to share my screen or should you want to repeat after
you
me?
Just take it away.
Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Roll out those lazy, hazy,
right now, just days of summer. Just tolerating it.
Dust off the sun and moon
reaching
and
for
sing
another
a
aspirin.
Song of cheer. Thank you for participating, Daniel.
I got you.
Okay, so this is where this is where the episode for me and maybe this episode is going off the rail. It's good fun. We're having good fun.
So this is where we see the kids.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of where it went off the rails for me.
Really?
Yeah. I get a whole summer's gone by. She's hasn't been around. Why hasn't, look, if Jess shows up at the wedding, why didn't he show up in Washington?
Great question.
It's a whole summer. They're supposed to be in love. Right. They just kissed. Why isn't Jess in Washington?
Dean, maybe. I guess she's still with Dean.
Come on. That's going to stop Jess. It's, nope. You know, in Washington, no. It's a bus ride. It's a big deal. He jumps on a bus. He goes, sees her in Washington. They didn't fit it in.
She's trying to write him the letter.
Yeah.
Maybe they probably have not even spoken. These are teams.
Look, I'll say it.
They don't really have cell phones.
Right. I'll say it straight out. I thought that the Jess character was really damaged at that point, maybe irreparably. Because if you see that kind of behavior, and granted she was away and she tried to keep in touch and he's, you know, what is he, 16, 17?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, the hormones are raging and, you know, he's a lonely kid and he needs somebody anyway. He needs a companion anyway, right? But gosh, it really damaged that relationship. And I don't know, they built it up to really, you know, it was this sort of crescendo of this fruition of youthful love. And there were so many obstacles to get there.
She's still dating Dean.
So what? Dean is a non-factor in her heart.
He
doesn't even register anymore. My God, she got all ready. She wanted to wear a nice dress. She didn't want to see Dean that day or even that night.
Yes,
she wanted to go to the festival with her mother and wear a nice dress and look good and look for Jess.
Yeah.
Agree. But we know that. Mm-hmm. And she knows that, but Jess doesn't know that. So all Jess knows is I've come back for this girl and she still won't break up with Dean. And off she went to Washington. So I'm a set teen. It's very teen.
She still won't break up with Dean. There's some expectation because, you know, he showed up at the thing and she kissed at the wedding and she kissed him at the end of season two that she's supposed to break up with Dean. He's supposed to get on a bus and go claim her. If he wants her, go after her.
He didn't. He came back.
He did not. He did not because he had nowhere else to go. And he had nowhere else to go but to Luke's. He came back for Luke as much as he came back for Rory. So why didn't he go to Washington all summer?
Tell me. She won't break up with Dean. He's not going to be like the other man that she's cheating on Dean with. he did the grand gesture. He came back.
It wasn't.
Shows up at the
wedding. It wasn't enough. He doesn't understand women. He's got to go get in her face in a real way and say, listen, I'm your guy. I want to be your guy. I mean, okay. This was so perfectly set up.
I'm coming around to you.
This was so perfectly set up at this point because we thought Jess was gone forever. He'd done some horrible things. And now he's back. And then he shows up at the wedding and she plants a kiss on him. And he's never looked more vulnerable. And then the next time you see him, he's making out in broad daylight with an unknown girl, you know, grabbing her buttocks. I was mourning the storyline. Why did you do this? It would have been better for me if they just developed that love story more. Go ahead, Danielle. Sorry.
No, I agree with you. I need Jess to kiss Rory. She said it herself. I kissed him. Mm-hmm.
He kissed her back.
But not really.
Yeah, they paused and then he went in for it.
What?
But we need him to do the initiating. We need him to be like, you are my girl. Like,
you guys are expecting so much of Jess. He's already, thank you, Riley.
You shouldn't have to expect something from, you know, this is what passion demands. If you're passionate about somebody, you cannot stop yourself. It compels you to get on a bus and go kiss her like, that's what I mean. I'm not saying go, you know, harass her.
It compelled him to come back to Stars Hollow and ask for Luke's forgiveness. I feel like he's doing a lot.
I see both sides.
I don't think he's doing enough, nearly enough.
You guys, Riley, what does she think?
I do see both sides, but to be fair, if I kiss somebody and then they have another person and then they leave for a summer, it's like, I don't really know what to do here. And he's a young kid. Like, I think he's also like has a lot of walls up and his guards up. And so he's like, I'm just going to move on. If she's going to move on to go to DC, she already has Dean.
I think it hurt both characters. I think it hurt his character because now he's just like a Mac daddy and it hurt her character because it makes her seem like she isn't worth it or she isn't as desirable. And she is.
He's a player.
Right. And she's not worth it. And she's not worth it to him. So I think it degrades her. So I think they took a big chance story wise by doing that. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it as a fan. Yeah. I did not like it. How it made Rory look. And now she's back with Dean and it's all good. And it's like, Jesus, man, you know, where's, you know, all this buildup and all this anticipation. And then this is the payoff.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Riley, would you guys call Jess and that dirty word you guys say? Yeah. Do you know what that word is?
The what? I'm sorry? The what word?
You can say it. You can say it.
A bleep boy.
A what?
F word.
They called an F boy.
An F boy.
They called an F boy. That's what the younger
fill in the blank, Scott.
Yeah, no, I got it. A fire so boy. Oh, gotcha.
He would call
a fuzz boy. Like, gotcha. I know.
You had a different name. What did you call it 2 seconds ago? It's already out of my head, but you had a good term
Who?
For it.
Me?
You.
Mac Daddy.
Is that dated? Did I just date myself?
Very. Just like mine, player. Player, so dated. Oh, he's a real player. But they say that. And I agree with you. Jess didn't necessarily need to like hook up with this trollop.
Well, we don't know her. We don't know what the deal is. She could be extraordinary. And maybe that's
right. We don't
know. But I mean, it's, you know, they're obviously unabashedly like really into each other. There's a lot of passion there, grinding against a tree. You know what I mean?
I have a question.
For a protracted period of time.
Have you been in a scene like that before where you just have to, I guess that's coming. That's coming. I will save it. Forget it.
Okay. No, ask it now. I want to know. Ask it again.
How awkward is that? Where you're just like, just make out for 3 minutes straight. Don't come up for air. Go.
You get an Altoid or you spritz your breath.
But awkward. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, people are professional about it. And
what is acting kissing like?
Like, do you try to kiss like, oh, I'm going to kiss this girl, or you're like, this is just work? You know what
I mean? It's mostly work. I mean, let's say even if you are attracted to the person, okay, it's still an awkward situation because so many people are standing around watching you with boom mics and cameras and extras, and you know, everybody's looking at you. So it's not an intimate situation at all. There's nothing terribly sexy about it. You know,
is there an art to kissing on camera?
You really don't want to engage the tongue too much. this is the thing that is discussed. Many directors, all directors that where I've been in those situations say, listen, you know, it's, you know what to do. It's like, if you get too liberal with the tongue, it's going to be a little much. And I said, well, you don't have to tell me that.
You don't want a Kourtney Kardashian, Travis Barker.
Yeah. You don't want to go deep with the tongue. You really don't want to engage the tongue very much at all. You know? So there's a way to do that to make it palatable for an audience because, you know, you don't want to.
Right.
Yeah.
Gross us out.
Yeah. You don't want to do that. Yeah.
Okay, so let me just, I'll just bring it back. So now Lorelai and Rory are sort of going back and forth with Jess and the making out in the background. And she tells Lorelai, we did kiss. Mm-hmm. Who kissed who? I kissed him.
Yeah, again, I thought, I'm trying to understand why Lorelai got so upset. And I think it's because, yeah. The scene just collapsed for me, because here we are, you know, now Rory's weakened as a character. This relationship isn't happening, or at least it's paused for a long time, because how do you come back from that?
Right,
You know, Rory's all grossed out. She's offended. She's hurt. And you know, Jess looks like a fuzz boy. And I think that's the term, fuzz or fooze boy. And now you've got Lorelai, you know, jumping down her throat because she needs to make a decision one way or another. Right. And it would just,
because she's cheating,
right,
on, in quotes, emotionally, obviously.
Right.
And she did kiss,
right,
him. So I get, right, that part, mm-hmm, of it. Like, girl,
and I think Lorelai's upset because, you know, Rory didn't listen to her in the first place. Stay away from this guy. He's bad news. Now you see he's bad news. Make a choice. I think she was just sick of it. She was just sick of the whole thing. And I told you this guy was going to bust your heart open. And she got angry at her daughter because of it.
I totally back up Lorelai. Am I the only one? I'm like, I totally agreed with what she said. I'm like, yeah, if you don't want to be with Dean, you got to let that guy go because you're breaking his heart and that's not cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the whole time I was thinking, what about her own daughter's heart? Her daughter's sitting there getting crushed by what's going on 10 feet away in a tree, mm-hmm, under a tree.
Mm-hmm.
So what about protecting her daughter's heart? What is this reaction like, jumping down her throat about making a choice and giving a crap about Dean's feelings? Is what about her own daughter's feelings that she hasn't seen in months, who just came back and got slammed in the face, you know, by Jess and this other girl? And now she's sitting there dying in the street with her dress. And I mean, what on earth
has
is
tried to warn her about Jess? And
I know that,
listening.
But she's 16, for God's sake.
I know. But what do you
know,
do?
Be a little, you know, better mother. Be a little more gentle with your own daughter. Her heart is breaking.
I disagree. Oh. I think she's being a great mom. She's tried. And at a certain point, you got to let your kid figure out on their own what's going on.
Scott,
and learn their own
lesson.
Don't
scream at her.
I'm Team Scott.
No, I agree with you, Scott. Riley, back me up.
I'm with Danielle on this one.
I don't like it when parents talk to their kids like they're screw ups. I don't like that. I don't think you should ever talk to your kid like the kid's a screw up.
Yeah, have some.
I mean, especially if it's somebody who is so precocious and so sweet and so gentle natured as Rory. I thought that was an abomination. I was, as a parent, I was offended by that.
Is what Rory's doing sweet?
What?
Is what Rory is doing sweet?
She's a confused, in love, 16-year-old girl. She is not worldly. She is just an open soul and a sweet soul who is having her first experience at being in some kind of a love triangle. You know, she's exposed to a bad boy.
I'm not mad at the messaging Lorelai's giving.
Right. No, it's not that.
You need to get this figured out. But it was how she could have taken it
down. It's just the tone that she uses with her daughter.
Say, you know what? I know.
It was harsh.
Yeah, I agree with Scott.
It was a real tongue lashing, man, in public in front of her brokenhearted daughter. I was like, no.
Get her out of there. Like, I would have been like, let's get out of here and let's go to Luke's. And have a cup of coffee and talk it through. What does Rory need?
So there's three characters that were damaged for me and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
So that's not Lorelai. She's more compassionate and empathetic than that. That's not Jess. You know, what's going on here? Everybody's getting knocked down a notch.
Dean is being Dean.
Yep. And there's Dean. Hey, baby. Hey, I missed you.
He was so cute.
And she was like, hey, God.
Right. And then she has to like just walk off.
Poor sap shows up. I mean, of course. He was probably up in the tree. You know. No pun intended,
great,
sap tree.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Perspectives, though. Because I don't. Riley, I agree with Scott, but it's really interesting to hear how everyone feels about it. Sorry, I'm going back. I'm still thinking about it.
Riley was with me on the SAP thing.
Okay. I'm
still thinking about who was right, who was wrong, and it's just kind of a mess. And
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm just saying my feeling of it, how it landed for me, just seemed, I don't know, off for me.
No, yeah, I agree with you. All right, so now we're going to go to the Gilmores, and that gets kind of
hello.
As you know, I was glad Lorelai told them. It took her too long, but I was glad she told them about Christopher and Sherry and the baby, because I didn't enjoy when they were blaming Lorelai, or Emily was.
You know, I learned some new information from that scene, which is always helpful, you know, if you want to critique the overall series and its episodes and its scenes. But I did, maybe they mentioned this earlier in the series in the first two seasons, but I did not know that Lorelai pushed Christopher away when she was 16 and he wanted to be a family. I didn't know that.
We learned a glimpse of that. Yeah. Right.
Well,
but that's fine. It's been subtle. We don't totally know, but we got glimpses that he would have stayed with her and I think maybe even marry her.
But again,
Lorelai ran away.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, again, we're talking about a 16-year-old girl who has a baby. We're not, you know, her brain isn't fully formed yet, right? She's 16. She's not making good decisions. And here we have, you know, we have Richard and Emily, you know, the two-headed cyclops telling their 32-year-old daughter what a complete screw-up she is again and again and again with every sarcastic, dripping, horrible comment coming out of their mouth. I mean, these are two of the nastiest people. I mean, for God's sake, are they nasty to that girl? No wonder she, you know what? No wonder she got the hell out of there. No wonder she didn't want any part of that. And I think the part of her that came out at Rory in the prior scene is too much Emily and is the reason she got the hell away from those people. Because they're,
I was just about to say,
on a
that.
Certain level, they are awful. I mean, do you want to be around that?
She reacted to Rory. Scott, you're so right. She reacted to Rory.
Like Emily reacts to her.
In a similar way to the way her parents reacted to her. So, and it's like, where is the, like, they should have felt bad for Lorelai. She wanted to be with Christopher. Finally, it's happening. And then this happens and he's trying to do the right thing. It's very parallel.
Oh my God. I wanted to punch Richard in the face. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how he was talking to her. I could not believe it. You know,
she left.
Of course, she had every right to. And she, I mean, continuing to get beaten down by those two monsters for, you know, it's life. It's you know, she drove them. I mean, they drove her to that behavior. She's 16 years old. She made a bad decision. You know, she went against their wishes again. And now she's, I think I'm at the point where I'm tired of these two people telling their daughter, their quite spectacular daughter, that she's a screw up. I'm sick of it. I don't want to see it anymore. You know, it's like I've had two seasons of it and she's defended herself. And now, you know, here's the interesting thing. Now I get why Lorelai is so acerbic with her wit towards her parents. It's a complete defense mechanism. It started at 16, probably started prior to that. You know, she's smart, she's fast, she's funny, she's quick. And now it explains all of this excessive dialogue because that's a defense mechanism as well. She's using humor and she's using volumes of words as an armor, as a shield, even when she interacts with her own daughter. That's her most safe space. She does it with other people too. She does it with everybody. Is this amateur psychology 101? Thank you very much.
This is great.
Now I get why there's so much verbiage.
Yeah.
It's because she was raised and escaped two of the most horrible people that I have ever seen on television. How can you talk to your daughter that way?
That Emily and Richard are complicated because I do think they have many, many, many redeeming qualities as well. They're not all bad.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wait a minute. Richard saw how competent and how smart and how helpful and how loving his own daughter was when he was setting up his own office, right? He was let go for whatever reasons, and he knows that his daughter is indeed not a screw up. His daughter is very competent, and he didn't want her to leave. He wanted her to stay, and now he's back to the same old tropes. I think Richard is an abusive father. I think Emily is a completely abusive mother. And I think that's one of the things that disturbed me the most about this is how much I started disliking those two.
Yeah, I have to really think
just
about
beating
that.
Up on her, on their daughter like that. Just beating up on her.
I have to think about that because I think there's some truth to what you're saying.
I mean, she's in a bad deal. That's a bad deal for her. She's got to go there every Friday night and take that crap. I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
That's why she left. Now I get it. Hey, you know, didn't come to me right away, but now I get it.
That's the thing. This show is not whatever. It's complicated.
Yeah.
And you go from a scene where you're loving it to something like this.
I'm sorry. That scene was vile. Wow. That was vile. Again, and now you're hurt. You're destroying those two characters. You're really,
so
you're
guess
really,
where she goes. What did you think of that?
I love that scene.
Yeah.
I really love that scene. And, you know, I she had nowhere else to go.
Oh, I see. I look at it differently. Not she had nowhere else to go. She went to where she was meant to be.
Interesting. Well said. Wow. Destiny, huh?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Wow. But I mean, she opened up and she was justifiably upset. I mean, having her reality is just not, man, she's got this great town, these great people, this great daughter, and she's got to deal with those two monsters every week. Good God.
Yeah.
I feel bad for her. I really love her. Wow. I really love her character. I really love Lorelai. I really do. I think that she is a woman made out of iron and all heart and soul. And man, she just wants to keep it light, doesn't she? She just wants laughs because she didn't get them growing up.
She's just had a lot of heavy stuff.
All heavy, heavy Richard Emily BS garbage status pressure. Belittling and psychological torture every day of her life.
But also the magnitude of having a baby at 16 and, with basically no support.
Yeah, throw that in. Yeah, thanks a lot, Mom and Dad. You were great. Really appreciate that. And now she has to relive it because Christopher, you know,
right,
is what he is, and now he's trying to do the right thing. And you know, I think Richard spelled it out very succinctly, right? You know, he's a guy that tried to do the right thing back in the day. And, you know, you stopped that, Lorelai, because you're who you are.
Which isn't wrong.
Right.
It's just the way they expressed it, which is exactly how I felt about Lorelai. Her sentiment was correct in that you need to make a decision about Dean. Like, you're going after the bad boy. But it's the way she did it.
I even think Richard verbalizing it was abusive. Why throw it in her face? What's the point? Except they're so self-indulgent with their need to express their utter disappointment in that woman. I would write them off. I would never go back there. You know, I would never, ever go back there after a tongue lashing like that. But she has to. And I think maybe that's why Amy wrote this. I think let's put a girl in an impossible situation with a great kid. She's a spectacular, strong woman, independent woman who made a choice, and she has to go back into the tiger's den week after week after week.
Yeah, wow. The show is so much.
And the chair, her chair and her whip is her wit.
God, that's so interesting you say that, because it's like there are so many laughs in this episode. Mm-hmm. But really, you're right. Like, this show is so much deeper and there's so much context there.
Yeah.
That's what it's really about. And the fact that they're able to give us those laughs amidst all this is maybe that's why we're so hooked.
I think so.
Were you happy to see Luke and Lorelai resolve their situation?
I think, and this is one of my favorite lines and one of the bigger laughs in the thing was when he was listing all her capabilities and her iron stomach. That meant he was forgiving her because he was joking around with her a little bit. And he's so comfortable with her that he can say something off the cuff like that. And I think it gave her great comfort.
And for me,
it's a nice moment.
Come again, Mimi.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I've now melted. Yeah. Like, I'm mushy. This is so good.
Yeah, it's great writing. Oh, it was great writing.
That's a great line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a very, very, I love the Luke and Lorelai stuff in this. It was very tender. It was very sweet. It really, really was. Without it being overtly tender and sweet on her part.
Right.
Sure,
it's not schmaltzy.
It's not.
Or whatever.
No.
It's just so. Mm-hmm. And she really had a monologue there.
Right.
And it was like, she just nailed it. And you are so subtle with the way, like, and I hope I don't seem like stupid trying to be like analyzing acting, but it's like the way you move and just the subtlety of it and just the slight, with the towel or the whatever you're doing over there, it's just so, you're just completely hooked. It's so good.
In acting parlance, it's called being connected.
Well,
to the character, to the other,
bravo.
To the scene. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Listen, you know, I enjoyed that scene very much. That it was a powerful scene for me. You know,
yeah.
Really, really was. And that's, you know, I think just in an acting sense, to get a little wonky, you know, the smaller you can work, the better. And yeah. And that really called for it, you know.
I think you're good at that.
Yeah.
Because it's so, you're so there,
right.
And so like your presence is big,
right.
But it's so like just subtle.
But yeah, I have to be careful because I'm kind of large.
Is that because you're tall? So
you have to be careful. You can't flail around if you're large. Yeah.
Interesting.
Little guys can flail around and, you know.
So as wave we've their gone arms through around, it,
but I can't.
As we've gone through it, I kind of get why you didn't love it. But looking now that we've discussed it, how do you feel about the episode?
You know what? You're right. I think it was a pretty outstanding episode. I would give it an A, not an A minus, not an A plus, but I would give it an A. I think it had enough there to give it top marks. I was just a little, and since it's a season premiere, I think they'll rehabilitate these characters in some way, shape or form. We'll hit the relief valve and go, oh, thank God, you know. But I think it's just a way of ratcheting up the tension right at the top of the season, you know, and setting up for what's to come. So I'm still going to give it an A. Now that we've discussed it, yeah, I've come around a little bit. But those few things, I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you, in the moment, last night when I was watching it, not a happy camper.
I'm glad that you tell us. Like, what did you guys think? Now that we've discussed it.
50-50. I love half of it and I didn't like half of it, but I would agree with the A rating.
Yeah.
I would say 75-25.
I like the whole thing because I love the complicated stuff.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing that this show can even warts and all is still great.
Yeah.
Still great.
We've done a lot of the lines. Also, sidebar, the fashion.
Oh,
A-game fashion. Yeah. This was great fashion.
Before we get to lines, I got a time code for everyone.
Oh.
4126, full clown pillow. If anybody saw it, it was in your face right there.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie, guys. I immediately went on eBay and purchased not one, but two of the Hello Kitty alarm clock. Like, I don't even want to think about how like dirty and germy the clock's going to be because it's obviously like 20 plus years old, but I cannot wait. It's already shipped. I cannot wait.
Huh.
You know, the Hello Kitty, you guys.
That's exciting.
I think I spent $42 on each one. So I spent almost $100 on two.
What do you plan to do with those?
Give you one after I 409 it. I'm going to take a lot of 409 and clean it and then give you one. And I'm going to put one back here for when we do this show.
We're going to watch What Happens Live where we just have a prop wall behind us, which is different.
I'm just going to keep getting Gilmore junk. Gilmore junk. I think I ordered a Gilmore t-shirt too that I hopefully will be wearing soon.
All right, cool. So I think we went through it. So.
My line is, I'm ranting. You should recognize this. I learned it from you.
Mine's from Michelle. So sad not to have a cocktail in your hand every time he comes by. No? Talking about Kirk.
That was good. Mine was from Paris. Was it a good ask out?
Was it a good ask out?
Yeah, because she didn't, realize she was getting asked out.
I there was a couple, but I settled on the Luke line and your iron stomach.
Oh, yeah.
It's right up there with the, I think the Yannick line was better. No, do tell, you know, when just his attitude, not the line so much, but his attitude when he was just staring at Kirk, like in total disbelief about his cows don't wrinkle lotion. So,
hey,
but I'm going to go with the Luke line, iron stomach. And your iron stomach. So that's it. I think we picked that apart pretty well.
I would like people to let us know if they liked us going through it in order.
I think they do.
I think they do.
I think
we get some complaints about our jumpy
game. I think they do, because I think we also inevitably can't help ourselves to create a lot of chaos during
just in our nature,
our tangential chaos inclinations. So it's, yeah, I think it's just in our nature. Anyway, that was fun. Great season premiere, all in all. The writers are going to rehabilitate those characters, and it's going to be very entertaining to watch. And I'm very eager to see how they do it, you know? Sometimes you have to, what they say in the writer's room, you got to kill your favorite children. And they certainly did that in this episode. So, anyway, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. You're the best fans on the planet. We love you dearly. Thank you for your comments. Keep them coming. You are shaping this podcast, as you can well see, and we appreciate it. We think it's making it better. All the best. Stay safe out there. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com. Grade one specialty coffee.
Ah, summer, the best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circlecard.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.